pretty special.
Our excuse me. Scripture for today is John 8:31-38. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "Verily I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent home in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now that you are I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father."
Thank you, Beulah. This morning we are continuing our kind of mini Advent series of four messages. This is the second of four. As again, remind you, Advent actually goes past Christmas. The 27th will be the last Sunday of Advent that we celebrate this year. And we are using the text of Luke chapter 4. Now, that's not what Beulah read out of this morning, but that's the text that we're using for the overall theme of our Advent series, where Jesus, again, Advent, we're celebrating the coming of a king, and we're longing for that kingdom to come on earth. And in Luke 4, that's when Jesus reads the scroll from Isaiah, and he says, "This is what my kingdom will look like. This is what we are all longing for in our lives and around the world." When Jesus says, "I proclaim to you good news for the poor," is what we looked at last week. And this week we're looking at freedom for the prisoner. Next week we'll look at sight for the blind, and the week after that, release for the oppressed. So this morning we're looking at, what does it mean to have freedom for the prisoner? So what we want to cover this morning is think about, what is imprisonment? What does it mean to be in prison? And then obviously we want to talk about, what does it mean to be free? And we want to ask ourselves, how can we be free? Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that this morning's message from your word will be good news, that will be freedom to prisoners. And so, Lord, as we look at your text, as we look at what your kingdom looks like, Lord, I pray that we can step into that time of longing that the Jews before the time of Jesus felt keenly. And Lord, I pray that sense would be just as aware in our own hearts and our own lives, that we have an awareness that we are a part of a kingdom that is not of this world, and that we're longing to see your good news come in our own lives and the lives around us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is imprisonment? What is imprisonment? I just want to walk through a definition. I didn't go to a library or a dictionary for this definition. And I will say, too, this is something that's always a little dangerous to do, but I just want to give you a heads up of what I'm doing here. I'm reading a little bit into the text. So this is how I'm defining imprisonment for the sake of this message. I can't tell you if this is exactly what Isaiah had in mind when he first wrote this, and what Jesus had in mind when he read from it in the synagogue 2,000 years ago. But this is kind of how an understanding that I am bringing to the text, and hopefully it helps us understand the text a little bit better. But I understand imprisonment as a voluntary thing, that you are in prison for something that you have done. You know, we've all heard the phrase, "Don't do the crime if you can't do the time." For people that find themselves in prison, generally there's a reason they're put there. There's something that they did. There's something wrong that they did to get them there. Now, in the other sense, like I said, what we're looking at in week four, which would be December 27th, we're going to look at the last stanza in that passage from Isaiah where Jesus says, "Release from the oppressed." So I think a helpful understanding is imprisonment, you're in prison for something that you have done, for a wrong that you've committed. There's a reason that you're there. Whereas oppression would be a very similar experience of imprisonment. You're in bondage. But oppression is when you're there for something you didn't do. It was out of your control. You're in a situation that you were placed in. Maybe you have an outside source, a person or a power that is oppressing you and doing, you know, injustice to you. You find yourself in oppression. So a lot of times the experiences may feel the same, to be imprisoned or to be oppressed. It might be a very similar experience. But for imprisonment, there's a clear connection as this is an effect and there was a cause for it. Whereas with oppression, there's not a clear cause. It's just being done to you. So hopefully that's a helpful understanding. And like I said, I don't know if that's exactly what Isaiah meant when he wrote this first passage or what Jesus meant when he read it to the Jewish synagogue. But for me, that's a helpful understanding. So this morning we're looking at imprisonment. And just keep in mind that we're talking about a cause and effect relationship. And in a couple of weeks we'll look at oppression, where there is seemingly no cause, but you're still feeling that same bondage. Now, I know there's different nuances on that. I know there's times of wrongful imprisonment. There's maybe people that are innocent that are actually in prison. But for this morning, you're probably figuring out we're not just looking at literal imprisonment, of being behind literal bars. We're looking at our condition of our souls and the condition of our spirits in a spiritual imprisonment. So I would say this is true 100% of the time spiritually, that we may be oppressed, and that's not something that we ever did, but if we find ourselves in prison spiritually, there's a cause to that. So this morning, again, we're focusing just on the imprisonment side, and we'll look at the oppression side later. So a definition, I would say, just a working definition for what imprisonment is. Again, this is just something I came up with, and so you probably find more accurate definitions somewhere else. But because of the actions you've done and the choices you've made, you find yourself in bondage, and you have become a slave to something or someone. So because of choices you've made, actions you've done, you find yourself in bondage, in prison, and you are a slave to something or someone. You're locked up, or as Beulah talked about, you feel the sense of you're being chained down. And that's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8 is what we're looking at, when you find yourself a slave to sin. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we see this very clear cause and effect relationship, where you have sinned and now you are a slave to that sin. And so that's what we're looking at. We can also see here that Jesus is very clear the understanding of, okay, what brings freedom from that imprisonment, and that is truth. The truth is freedom. And so when we look at what imprisonment is, another working definition of what it means to be in prison is simply not knowing the truth. If you don't know the truth, you're in bondage to the lies that you believe in. And so Jesus says you need to know the truth. So this morning I want to take a look at some very, I think, kind of overarching lies that we're all tempted to believe in when we think about imprisonment, when we think about freedom. And so when we want to define what imprisonment is, we need to and if Jesus defines freedom as knowing the truth, and so inherently lack of freedom is not knowing the truth, we say, what are these lies that we're believing in? What are these things that are holding us captive? What are the lies that we're choosing to believe that are keeping us a slave to those lies and a slave to sin? So let's look at two very, I think, predominant lies that we're all tempted to believe when we start thinking about freedom. When we think about that we're in prison, we're captives, and we're chained down, we start to think, oh, if I had this, it would bring freedom. So the first lie I think we are all tempted to believe is that we define freedom as having no master. We'd say, I would be free if I could get out from under whatever it is that masters me. If there is no master in my life, I would be free. And that is a very easy lie to believe. It's an easy lie to believe because there's some truth to it, but it's not the whole truth. That is how you would define political freedom. So that is how the United States of America defines freedom, because we celebrate on July 4th our Independence Day, when we gained our independence. And we gained freedom from throwing off the rule of an English monarchy at that time. And so we claim that date as our day of freedom, where we said we no longer have anyone that rules over us, thus we are free. Now, in a political sense, that may be true. We're not getting into the political sense this morning. We'll talk about that more on the 27th when we talk about oppression. But in the political sense, that's how they would define freedom. But in the spiritual sense, that is not freedom. In the spiritual sense, that's a lie, to say if only there would be no one that was a master over me, I would be free. So we got to remember that that's not true. The second lie that we're tempted to believe with freedom is that freedom means you can do whatever you want. I'm a free person, I can do what I want. You can't tell me what to do, I'm free. You can't lord this over me, you can't be my master, you can't control me. I am free, and freedom by that definition means I can do whatever I want. Now in one sense, that is freedom. You are free to choose whatever you want, but that's not biblical freedom. Biblical freedom says you're free to make the right choice. You don't have freedom to make the wrong choice. So we need to, first of all, debunk those two lies. That one, freedom means that you have no master, that you have no one ruling over you. And two, that freedom means you can do whatever you want. Those are not, when Jesus says, I preach freedom to the prisoners, that I will release or bring freedom to all prisoners. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying that I will give you freedom so you have no one that rules over you. And he's not saying I'm giving you freedom to make any choice you want without any consequences. That is not the good news that Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about is the truth will set you free. So let's move on. So we defined imprisonment. So let's ask the next question then. What is freedom? What is freedom? And Jesus very simply says it here in John chapter 8, that freedom is knowing the truth. Freedom is knowing the truth. And that's why, hopefully, I got my own little key here. Hopefully you all got one of these. If you didn't get one, there'll be extra in the back. It's a little key. Talk says, freedom is knowing the truth. And this key has truth on it with the scripture passages that we're looking at this morning. So when we talk about freedom, the key is truth. This unlocks the chains that we're bound up. It unlocks the prison cell that we find ourselves in. So you can just keep this. I'm not going to give you specific instructions on what to do with it. I know a lot of us are visual. We want something to touch and have something tangible with our hands. So if this helps you remember the message that Jesus has for all of us, great. If not, you can do whatever you want with it. But Jesus says, what is freedom? It is knowing the truth. So let's go back to those first two lies about freedom. So the first lie was, freedom is not having a master. Whereas Jesus says, no. Freedom, true freedom, when he says, when I set you free, you're free indeed. To be free indeed is to have the right master. Jesus says, if you want freedom, you have to have the right master. And he says, I am that rightful master. I am the rightful Lord of your life. I am the rightful king. And so if you want to be free, you have to serve me. If you want to be free, you have to turn your life over to me. If you want to be free, you have to relinquish everything and give it up to me. Now we see how that doesn't quite jive with what we would define as freedom. We say, no, that's not freedom. You're just turning over your life to some other king. And now you're a slave to that person. And the Bible says, yes, exactly. You nailed it. Biblical freedom is to relinquish your rights and submit to the one true king. Whereas political freedom or freedom of this world says, don't submit to anyone. Again, we can go back, we talked about the kingdom that we're a part of, the upside down kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is not of this world. It's all about submissiveness. It's all about power under. It's all about loving those who hate you. It's all about laying down your life. And so this freedom goes right in line with that, is if you want real freedom, you need to submit yourself. If you want real freedom, you need to relinquish control of your life and give it over to the king that will not abuse you, the only king that will not abuse the power that has been given to him. So true freedom is not having no master. True freedom is having the right master. And we have to tell ourselves and remind ourselves, if there's anything that's ruling your life, if there's anything that's lord over your life, if there's anything that has become your master that is not Jesus, you're in prison. If there's anything that is ruling your life that is not Jesus, you're in prison. Whatever that might be, something that's good, something that's bad, something that's sinful, maybe something that's not. If that is something that is ruling your life, that has more influence over your life, that you've submitted to more than Christ, you find yourself in prison. You are in bondage to that thing. Jesus must be our ruler. He must be our Lord. He must be our master. And the paradox of the kingdom is when we submit, we find true freedom. That's what Jesus says. When I give you freedom, you are free indeed. Now, well, let's look a little bit deeper into that. This is something, if you've been at Crown Hill for the last couple of years, you may have heard this repeated over and over again, but I think it bears repeating. Now, if we try to figure out what it is that is keeping us in bondage, what is that thing or multiple things that is imprisoning us? And I think it's harder to discern these things the closer they are to being true. So you've all heard that a good lie has some truth in it. So it's harder to discern what it is that's keeping you in bondage, what it is that you're worshiping, the closer it is to the truth. So let's look at this for example. So if there's something that's ruling your life that we would classify in a traditional sense as an outright sin or an obvious sin, or some people would say an unacceptable sin, well, there's acceptable and unacceptable sins. Again, we've kind of got into this quagmire of understanding what sin is. So if it's one of those unacceptable, obvious, blatant sins, maybe like a substance abuse or a sexual sin or criminal activity or abusive relationships or things like that, it's pretty obvious to identify that if those things are ruling your life, you're in prison to them, you're in bondage to them. And I don't want to pretend that doesn't happen within my life and within the lives of us at the church. There are obvious sins that rule over us, and we need to be knowing what the truth says about those things, and so we can find those. So those are a little bit easier to discern. You know, like, okay, if that's ruling my life, that's not right. Okay, I know I'm in bondage to that. I know that I'm enslaved to that, and I know I need to get freedom. But the ones that are a little harder to discern are the ones that are a little bit closer to the truth. These are the good things, the things that are generally good in life, that we've made an idol out of. Something that's good, and we've taken it and put it in the seat of Christ. Something that is a good thing in and of itself, and we've started to worship it instead of worship Christ. And these are the things like success. Success is not a bad thing, but when we elevate success in our lives above Christ, it becomes an idol. Like careers. If we make an idol out of our career, all of a sudden we become a slave to our careers. Health is another good thing that we all want to be healthy people, have healthy bodies, but if we elevate our physical health above our worship of Christ, it becomes an idol and we become a slave to it. Financial security is another thing that's not necessarily bad, but it can become an idol and we can become a slave to it. Family. Family is a great gift and a great blessing that God has given us, but if we elevate it to the seat of Christ and we worship the idea of having a good and healthy family above Christ, we've made an idol of it and we will become a slave to it. Another one is independence. Yes, independence. We live in a Western society, in a Western culture where we elevate individualism to a pedestal. And so we say, I am my own person, and I can make my own choices, and I'm free to do whatever I want, and I am an independent person. And if we elevate that above our submission to Christ, we've made an idol out of it, and we will become a slave to our own idea of independence. Now, when it gets really close to home, and really hard to discern what it is that keeps us in bondage, is when it gets into the idea of the spiritual realm. When we start talking about church, we can become a slave to church. And we say, oh, if I elevate church above my worship of Christ, if I say, well, I want to see Crown Hill grow. Okay, maybe this is something you guys don't struggle with, but pastors will struggle with this. Is I want to see a healthy church, or I want to see a church growth, or I want to see these things happen in the church. And if I elevate that above Christ, I become a slave to the church. Or even this. A lot of heads went up. We were sleeping, huh? If we elevate this above Christ, if we say, I want to follow every rule in this book, and I want to do everything right, and I want to make sure I'm following this to every jot and tittle, but we don't worship who this book is pointing to, this becomes an idol. And we become a slave to trying to do the right thing without worshiping the person that this book is pointing to. And you can see how that gets harder and harder to discern the closer it gets to truth, but yet those are the most insidious ones that can rule over our lives. We don't even know it. We say, hey, I'm doing exactly what this says. Well, this says there's a king that you should be worshiping, and you shouldn't be worshiping paper and words. That's a tough one to discern. A tough one to discern, especially for those of us who have been born and raised in the church, and we know the power of the word, but we need to worship the written word, which is Christ, not the living word, which is Christ, not the written word, which tells us about Christ. So we need to know how to discern. And there's just if you're wanting to get a little clarity on this, there's an easy test you can walk yourself through. It's the if-only test. If-only test. If I only had X, then I would be content. If I only had X, then I would be out from underneath this bondage. If I only had X, I wouldn't feel like I was chained up. If I only had X, I wouldn't feel like I'm in prison. And anything you're tempted to put in the place of X is what you're tempted to be enslaved to. If you put Jesus there, if only I had more of Christ, then you'll be free indeed. But if you think, if only I had anything besides Christ, that's helpful to reveal the things that we're tempted to make ourselves bondage to. Okay, remember the second lie in regard to freedom was, You think you're free to do whatever you want. Where the truth that Jesus tells us is, freedom is knowing the truth about what you really want to do. The truth is knowing the freedom. The freedom is knowing the truth of what you really want to do. So in other words, knowing the truth about our consequences. Knowing the truth about our consequences. Jesus says here that all who sin are enslaved to sin. So that's truth. If you participate in the sin, it will enslave you, it will have power over you, it will keep you in bondage, it will keep you in prison. We need to know that truth. And what Jesus says is, if you know that's true, if you know the consequences of your actions, it will help you from doing those actions. And what Jesus is also telling us here is that you have to know the truth, and that is knowing your own desires. So let's look at this a little bit. I think there's some helpful examples here that help bring clarity to this, at least clarity in my own mind. So I'm going to start with some pretty light examples, and then we'll get a little bit heavier as we go on. So one example is in sports, and I'm seeing this just about every day, almost every day now, since I'm in the middle of basketball season with my eighth grade guys up at Rittman. So you think freedom is freedom to do whatever you want, right? So you're free to do whatever you want. And my eighth grade guys are free to do whatever they want. And a lot of times they take advantage of that freedom because they're free to not work hard in practice. Okay, they're free to come in and just put in the time and walk through the motions and the drills and not have any intensity and just go through the motions. They have a freedom to do that. But the truth is that freedom leads to bondage. That freedom leads to poor choices because there's a consequence to that. If you come to practice and you don't work hard, the consequence is you lose games. And we're losing lots of games this year. So what we need to tell ourselves, what we need to work through and understand is, what do you really want? Okay. With a practice, when you're working and you're tired, what you're telling yourself, well, I don't want to do this. I want to be lazy. I'd rather go home and play on my Xbox. Okay, that's what they want. But you think, what do you really want? You really want to win basketball games. So in order to win basketball games, you put in the work now at practice and do that. So you have to remind yourself of the truth. The truth is what you really want. Even though at a time you might be going and you're thinking internally, I don't want to work hard right now. But the truth is what you really want is something down the road. And so you got to put in the time. Okay, let's take another step a little heavier. Let's talk about food. Okay? You're free to eat whatever you want. We're all free to eat whatever we want. We have that choice. Now, we understand there are consequences to those issues. So you may be tempted to think, and it may be true, that I really want that extra piece of pie. I really want a whole dozen cookies that I'm going to eat myself. I really want that extra serving of whatever it is you guys gather together and eat over Christmas. I really want that. But what is it that you really want? What is the truth? The truth is you want to be healthy. The truth is you want to live to see 60, 70, 80, 90. The truth is you want to have a long life. So you need to tell yourselves, what do you really want? And you know the truth of your actions. The truth is your consequences. So again, you tell yourself, okay, even though I feel like I want that extra piece of pie, even though I feel like I want that extra serving, what I really want is health. And so you know the truth, and you make a decision based off it. Let's take another step deeper. Let's talk about sin. We're all free to sin. We're all free to do wrong actions. But we need to tell ourselves what the consequence of this action is. What will happen if I participate in this? What will happen if I do it? And I know this is an internal monologue I need to have with myself, and I know many men in the congregation and everywhere around have to tell yourselves, when you see an image of a beautiful woman or you see someone walking down the road, you need to tell yourself, that's not what I really want. Although we're hardwired and we look at that and we tell ourselves, I want that. And you're tempted to go down that road of looking at more of those images. But you have to tell yourself, that's not what I really want. I know the consequences of that. I know if I go down that road and allow myself to think about wanting that, it'll lead to consequences. It'll lead to sin. It'll lead to bondage. It'll lead to a life of addiction. And so we need to tell ourselves the truth, that that's not what you really want. Even though you may feel a draw to it or appeal to it, that's not what you really want. You want a life that is free from that bondage. And there's everyone has different sins that they struggle with. And you need to remind yourself of the truth. The truth will set you free. When you're tempted, you need to say, this temptation is not what I really want. Even though it feels really strong that I want this right now, that I feel really drawn to it, it's not what I really want. What I really want is the truth. What I really want is what Christ can offer me. And the same thing can be said of our idols. You're free to pursue anything. You're free to do with what your life with what you want to do. You're free to follow your dreams. You're free to follow your careers. You're free to do what you want. But you need to remind yourself of the truth. Of what is it that I really want? What is it that I really want out of this? What is the truth? We must remind ourselves of the truth that if we're pursuing anything besides Christ, that we will be a slave to it. So know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the last question we will look at this morning is, how do we do it? How do we be free? How do we live out this truth that Jesus promises here? How do we cast off the chains of slavery? How do we cast off the sin that so easily entangles? And how do we live a life of freedom? It says in verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We see here an if and then. Whenever you're reading in the Bible and you see then, go backwards. Oh, what's he talking about? What's the if? Whenever you see a therefore, go back and you say, okay, what's he talking about? If you hold to my teaching, you are really disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we hold his teachings. And that takes discipline. That takes a lifetime of living out the Word. That takes a lifetime of committing to Christ, a lifetime of reminding yourself of the truth, a lifetime at every decision you make, you remind yourself, is what is the truth I'm facing here? What are the consequences? We've got to remind ourselves that nothing worth doing is ever easy, and we have this challenge in front of us. I think a lot of times we're tempted to think, especially even when we use this analogy of a key. You know, how does a key work? You put it in a door, you put it in a lock, whatever, you turn it, and instantly it's open, instantly it's free, instantly you're in or you're out. Now, that's where this metaphor, this analogy lets us down. Because rarely is that the way that the Christian life works. Now, there are miraculous occasions where God gives instantaneous freedom from something. But that is the exception, not the rule. The rule is, generally, it's a lifetime of unlocking. It's a lifetime of following Christ. It's a lifetime of submitting. It doesn't happen in an instant. Now, let me give another example of how this works. You guys, we've all been blessed here at the church with Phil and Amber being here to lead us in worship. Now, I can tell you, watching Phil play piano or watching Amber play guitar, that looks to me like freedom. They have the freedom to play and to improvise and to work off each other and just to hear a tune and to be able to play it. And I watch that enviously because that freedom looks awesome. But for me, I've been taking a piano and accordion lessons for about a year and a half now. And I have no freedom to do what I want. And it's frustrating. But that's really true in life. Okay, if I keep at this for another 15, 20 years, I'll be able to experience, well, hopefully, the freedom to be able to just play and to enjoy it and to have the luxury of to improvise and to just hear the music and play the music and feel all that's happening, what we see when Phil and Amber play, and it just goes easily and we can see the freedom that they have with their instruments. That is the goal that we all have. And we're all at different spots in that journey spiritually. That you might look at different people in the church and different ages and think, man, they have freedom. They can just do what they want. They can walk in life. They can walk in freedom. And I'm struggling. It's hard for me. It seems like every day I'm trying and I'm practicing. And every day it doesn't go the way I want to. Freedom is a lifelong journey. That if we keep working, as Jesus says, hold to my teachings. If we hold to his teachings every day we'll get a step closer to freedom. Every day we'll get a little bit better. Every day we'll get a little bit closer to Christ. And then someday we can enjoy that freedom, knowing that we don't ultimately get that freedom until we see Christ face to face, until his kingdom comes, until we see the earthly kingdom that Jesus was talking about, the resurrection. But we know we have that promise of greater freedom. So if you're struggling with imprisonment, if you're struggling with the chains of bondage, be encouraged. We're all at different parts in the journey. We're all experiencing different aspects of freedom. But the challenge before all of us is hold to Christ's teachings, to really be his disciple. Then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this promise. And Lord, I just pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would continue to reveal the lies in our lives that we're tempted to believe, that we're all tempted to believe in regard to different aspects of what we're what is tempting to us. So Lord, I pray that you would reveal your truth to us and that you would give us the motivation to hold fast, to continue that daily discipline of worshiping you, of following you, of being your disciples, that we can experience what you've promised, that once we know this truth, it will set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
we're going to end with Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. It just fit really well with the sermon. The Lord impressed it on my heart and throat as well. To just change it up a little bit at the end instead of doing the personal well. So if you'll please stand with us. And we will respond to the message. Respond to the truth. The truth does set us free when we are in God's love, when we read His word, when we discipline ourselves daily. We soak it up. We get saturated. It just doesn't come one or two times a week. We have to do it every day. So let's sing. Thank you.
So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Go in peace.